Do you remember life? Do you remember life before email or Gmail or junk mail or instant messaging or the internet or even mobile phones? As a child, I remember the highlight of my day was the sound of letters plopping through the letterbox onto the doormat, especially around birthdays or my birthday or Christmas or even Easter. And the more plops, the better. And I would look behind the curtain waiting for the postman to come. And the day without letters was a very sad day. Most of all, I longed for letters addressed to me because they made my day. Somebody cared enough to write me a letter, even if it was a type letter, you know, an official letter. And I remember in my desperation, one occasion, posting a letter to myself. But I used Green Shield stamps, if you're old enough to remember what Green Shield stamps were. And I addressed it to Master Stephen Robert, Sizer, 117 Beccles Road, Alton Broad, Lowestoft, Suffolk, England, World, Universe. And that's because we didn't have postcodes in those days. But my identity, I've still got it. It's in my collection. My identity and my self-esteem was in some sense bound up with something as simple as receiving an occasional letter. Now, we're rather more sophisticated. But you know that feeling when you press download and there are no emails. You know, you assume it's a technical fault because there must be someone out there who wants to send you an email. You know, we crave for recognition, and although we complain about the stress of modern communication, we do still hunger for affirmation. We long for recognition. In our series, in the life of Abraham and what Abraham discovered, we're discovering not only what Abraham found out about God, who God is, and why he chose Abraham, but we're discovering God's purposes for Abraham. And as children of Abraham, we are discovering God's purposes for us because we are the inheritors of the promises God made to Abraham. So please turn with me to Genesis chapter 14. And there should be an outline, which I hope you've got, which shows you where we're going this morning. And what we're going to look at this morning is about two kings, two very different kings, the king of Sodom and the king of Salem. The king of Sodom, Bera, and the king of Salem, Melchizedek. And the contrast between these two kings is very stark. There was Sodom's decadence, Salem's decency. King Bera was opulent, King Melchizedek was holy. Abraham encounters these two kings on the same day following a regional conflict. The kind of conflict we see played out in South Sudan, in Afghanistan, even in Syria, about tribal alliances and battles for control of territory, along the Jordan Valley, below the Dead Sea in particular. Having discovered that his nephew Lot and their relatives had been taken captive from Sodom when it was plundered and defeated, Abraham took 318 of his own men and he went as far as Damascus, up the Jordan Valley, to rescue his family and bring them back with their belongings. And we pick the story up in Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. After Abraham returned from defeating Kedor Laomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now notice the contrast between these two kings. Bera, king of Sodom, Melchizedek, king of Salem. They both came to Abraham the day he returned from his victory. They both claimed his loyalty, his homage. Both expected something from him. Now, Abraham was forced to choose between the two, and he chose well. And this story is repeated in every day, every community, in every one of us. Because it's a story of power and pride. It's a story of a subtle persuasion and overt temptation. We have to choose between these two kings and the powers that lie behind them. Will we live to gain for ourselves, Oh, we live to serve and give to others. To help us choose like Abraham, here are some questions to have in mind. What is my goal in life? Whom will I serve? What is my reward in life? From where do I seek blessing? Where will I invest my life? To whom do I bring my worship? Well, let's see how Abraham answered these questions. And the first observation we can make is about Abraham's goal. Abraham's goal was serving God Most High. And it begins in verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. A priest brought bread and wine. Bread and wine, the emblems of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham accepted them, and in so doing became the first person to take communion. You see, bread symbolizes life. It's the nourishment that sustains life. In the wilderness, God provided a daily saving proportion of manna, bread from heaven, for the children of Israel. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. That's the bread. The wine represents God's covenant in blood, poured out in payment for mankind's sin. Jesus said at the Last Supper, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now, Abraham probably had no idea about the significance that the bread and the wine would come to have in the Passover and then in the Lord's Supper. But there was something about that day, that encounter with this mysterious priest king, that compelled Abraham to receive the bread and the wine, to bow and receive this blessing from this mysterious figure. So important that God included him in the history of redemption. Who is this man, Melchizedek? What is his role? Well, the first thing we can say is his name. Melchizedek is the compound of two Hebrew words. Melech is king, and Zedek means righteousness. And that's what Hebrews chapter 7 says. He was the king of righteousness. But what of his domain? He's the king of Salem. Salem is one of the ancient names of Jerusalem, the city of Salem, meaning completeness, wholeness, peace. So Melchizedek was the king of righteousness and the king of peace. Righteousness and peace. His name, his dominion. I think we're getting a little warmer as to who this person might be. And then his genealogy. His genealogy. He reigns as a priest, as a king, but there is no mention of his genealogy, his parentage, his ancestry. And this was very important because who you were was determined by who your father and mother were, who his father was, who his father was. Everyone traced their ancestry back. Melchizedek, silence. Hebrews 7 verse 3 says, without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Notice he remains, present tense, a priest forever. He remains. The kingship of Israel could trace their roots back to Saul and David. The priesthood of Israel could trace their roots back to Aaron and the tribe of Levi. But Melchizedek preceded both Levi and Saul or David. He is king and priest of the city of God. Long before there was ever a monarchy, long before there was a priesthood. And Abraham knelt before him. Abraham received communion from him, just like the disciples. Abraham received a blessing from him, just like the disciples. Abraham gave him a tithe or a tenth of his possessions. So who is Melchizedek? Well, one day we'll find out. We'll one day find out. Hebrews tells us he resembles the Son of God. Many theologians believe that he was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the same person who encountered Jacob, the same person whom Joshua encountered, the same person that the three men in the fire of Daniel encountered, the fourth man in the fiery furnace, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. At the very least, he points us to Jesus Christ. But here is the enigma. In John chapter 8, Jesus, when he is confronted with those skeptic religious leaders, he says, "Your father Abraham," not "our father Abraham." Notice that. "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." How did Abraham see Jesus? How did he see Jesus' day? Was it in the bread and the wine? Remember, the disciples' eyes were opened as Jesus broke the bread and the wine. Was that when Abraham's eyes were opened? Was it when God provided the ram in the bush as he was taking Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him? Was that when his eyes were opened? Or was it in Melchizedek, his eyes face to face, that Abraham saw Jesus and was glad? "You've seen Abraham," they said to Jesus. "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." You see, only Jesus openly claimed to have pre-existed before Abraham. Only he is the one without beginning of days or end of life. No wonder Abraham rejoiced, because Abraham understood whom he served. He served God Most High. So what is your goal in life? Whom do you serve? Secondly, notice Abraham's reward, the blessing of God Most High. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Melchizedek pronounces a blessing over Abraham. God had clearly blessed Abraham by enabling him to rescue Lot and his family. What is a blessing? We bless one another. We bless at the end of the service. But what is a blessing? Well, a blessing is the desire to bestow favor or honor upon another person. In a spiritual sense, it's when we call upon God to bestow his favor on others. And there are three ways we can bless someone. We bless them by talking directly to them and pointing out the good in them and asking God to bless them. May God bless you. Secondly, we can bless a person by speaking to others about them and speaking well of them and asking God's blessing upon them. Or you can bless a person by speaking well of them to others in their presence. But what gives value to a blessing is not the blessing itself, but the one giving it. The one giving it. I care about what you think of me, but I care more about what my mother thinks of me and my wife and my children. But above all that, I care most about what God thinks of me. So whose blessing are you seeking today? What kind of blessing are you giving to others today? Abraham's goal, serving God Most High. Abraham's reward, the blessing of God Most High. And thirdly, Abraham's tithe, worship of God Most High. It says in verse 20, "Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything." The king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand, I have sworn an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I will accept nothing belong to you, not even a thread or a strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich." This is, again, the first reference to tithing in the Bible, giving a tenth. It's not a command, but it is an example. And the giving of the tenth is not about money. It's about worship. It's about trust. So you cannot separate the two. Whatever you serve, you will worship. Whatever you worship demonstrates whom you serve. Abraham gave a tenth as an expression of his worship, his thankfulness to God. And that's why it's a proportion, not a fixed amount. Because the more he had, the more he gave. It was about his devotion. He gave because he recognized God's provision, God's deliverance, God's blessing. It was his way of giving back because of God's blessing. Do you see giving in that way? Do you see it as a giving back, what God has given to you, as a sign that you trust him for what he hasn't yet given you? Do you tithe your income, a proportion, to and through his church? And many of you do, and we praise God for that. But some of you don't. And some of you are still to experience the blessing that comes through giving in this way. From understanding the true nature of worship. Because you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. And it's here, when we're dealing with the money, that we see the contrast between these two kings. These two kings, who both came to Abraham, same day, same place, the king of Sodom and the king of Salem. What was the difference? Bera, king of Sodom, came to get. Melchizedek, king of Salem, came to give. Melchizedek gave Abraham God's bread and wine. And Melchizedek gave Abraham God's blessing. And Abraham responded by giving a tithe back to God. What did Bera come for? Bera came for his subjects. Why did Bera want the subjects and not the money? Because he couldn't be a king without subjects. He'd lost his town, he'd lost his people, and he couldn't be a king without subjects. Subjects who would generate taxes and income. Without them, he was not a king. Bera offered to Abraham the opportunity to keep the spoils if he gave him his subjects. But Abraham understood the implications. If Abraham accepted and took the possessions, then he was accepting submission to Bera. It's the most appealing deal. Sounds similar to the one that Satan offered Jesus in the wilderness. All this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. If Abraham had accepted the possessions gained in war, he would have given the impression, as he rightly says, that you made me rich. And Abraham would have nothing of that. Abraham wanted something much more than possessions and wealth. 2 weeks' time, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 15 and the blessing of land, which is such a thorny issue today in Israel-Palestine. The conflict is over land, possession of land. And one side looks to Abraham and promises made to Abraham and says, God gave the land to Abraham, therefore it's ours. But as we shall see from Genesis 15, this is a taste of 2 weeks' time, Abraham wasn't interested in the land. He wasn't interested in this money. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham looked for a better country, a heavenly one. He was only ever a stranger. He was only ever a refugee in the land. And that's why he didn't want the money either. Because his trust and his security and his confidence was in God and not in Bera. So this incident was a test of Abraham's faith, just as the test God gave him as they went up Mount Moriah to offer a sacrifice. The test came at the end of a great victory, and it so often comes. We're tested when we are experiencing blessing. That unanticipated windfall. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to tithe on that too? Abraham passed the test because Abraham's goal was serving God Most High. Abraham's reward was the blessing of God Most High. And Abraham's tithe was his worship of God Most High. You see, we live just like Abraham in a world of two kings. The king of Salem and the king of Sodom are manifest in very different ways. But we must choose which we are serving. Because you cannot serve both. You cannot abstain. You cannot serve one on Sundays and serve the other on Mondays. You must serve one or the other. And that choice influences every decision we make. Because we have to serve somebody. Bob Dylan wrote a song about it. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. I'm not going to sing it to you, don't worry. You may be an ambassador or to England or France. You may like to gamble, or you may like to dance. You may be a heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. You may be a doctor, they may call you a chief. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame. You may be living in another country under another name, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be somebody's mistress. You may be somebody's heir, but you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Abraham chose well. The beginning of this new year, it's a good time to think about how we're going to answer those questions this year. What is my goal in life? Who am I serving? What is my reward in life? Where do I seek a blessing? And where will I invest my life? To whom do I bring my worship? Let's pray together. Lord, like Abraham, may we make you our goal and serving you our highest honor. Like Abraham, may we find in you our reward, your blessing more than any other. And Lord, as we acknowledge and receive your blessing, as we seek to serve you faithfully in the year ahead, please show us how we should invest the assets and resources you have entrusted to us and see our giving as part of our worship of you, our Most High God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.